This is Warrior Sound on the road in Cleveland. I'm Lawrence Scott, and we are backstage just behind the court here at the Quicken Loans Arena. And the Warriors with a practice on this Tuesday, getting set for Wednesday's Game 3 against the Cavs. And let's start things off by bringing in Dub Nation. We asked Warriors fans for questions on Twitter, and we got many great ones. And some of them were directed to Klay Thompson, who joined us to answer your questions. All right, Klay, questions from the fans. And Karen Ennis 70 writes, everyone has really stepped up their game and it's a joy to watch. What do you guys see as the biggest challenge being in Cleveland for games 3 and 4?
Just not letting up. We realize it's easy to feel great about ourselves right now, but we haven't played a away game yet, and this team's really good on their home court. They're one of the best home teams in the regular season, so can't relax and got to come here and steal one, you know. Yeah, and a great opportunity to come here and create some separation, so it's time to take advantage.
Leisha Garraway asks, Klay, aside from your Game 6 in OKC with 11 three-pointers, what other Warriors game this postseason has been your favorite?
What has been my favorite? Probably when Steph came back Game 4 in Portland, just because, you know, he was rusty. I mean, the guy came off the bench and had a 40-piece. That's takes a special talent to do that, so that was probably my second favorite game.
All right. Thank you, Leisha, for that question. And finally, from Dub Nation 02, who takes care of Rocco when you play games on the road?
My big brother's taking care of him right now, so Rocco's on a little vacation with Uncle Michael. You know, as a kid, when your uncles always came to the house, you had a good time, so hopefully he's taking good care of Rocco. Get him his exercise, get him his two meals of the day, and just showing him a lot of love.
Great stuff. Thank you, Klay. Now, Zach Lowe wrote a nice article on ESPN.com for today titled, Klay Thompson Dares You to Underestimate Him. We talked with Zach at the practice session, and we will have that in moments. But before that, a few minutes with the Brazilian blur, Leandro Barbosa, sharing some time with us today to talk about the finals thus far and seeing a fellow Brazilian star athlete, Neymar, at Sunday's Game 2 in Oakland. What is necessary here, Leandro, to keep up the energy in bringing it into Cleveland and making this a successful road trip?
Well, I think we have to be really aggressive. Aggressive more than we being on those two games. We know that we 2-0, but it is a comfortable position for us, but at the same time, we can't get too comfortable. We know that it's going to be a really hard game. Cavs has the advantage as being on their floor with the fans and everything. We know how this place it is when they play here, and this is a final. I also think that they really hungry, so we gotta be ready to play, really be prepared. So we face this team and we do a good job.
What do you do mentally to keep the energy up and bring the excellent energy that you bring to every game?
I think it's part of me, you know. Every time I'm on the floor, I wanted to run, and I think that part of me just wanted to run. It just brings the team together, you know. And the game gets a little crazy. The game gets speeded up, and I think that's the main thing, you know. So hopefully, I will do that in the next game, and everything will be okay.
After Game 2. You're walking down the hall, heading back to the locker room. Neymar's in the hall. Yeah. I love. It was one of my favorite scenes of the postseason thus far. The look on your face, you turn around, seeing Neymar, a Brazilian soccer star of a huge magnitude around the world. What was the experience catching up with him?
I mean, I was surprised. He told me that he was going to come, but before the game started, I was looking for him on the floor, and he wasn't there, so I guess it was like he said that he was going to come, but he didn't. So at the end of the game, after we won, I was walking to the locker room and he was right there. I was kind of surprised and happy, you know, and just giving him a hug, you know, haven't seen him for a while. And, you know, it's tough for me to see each other. Every time I'm playing, he's playing with the national team, but this time he didn't go with the national team, so he got to come and watch us play.
Final thing here. We know that soccer is huge in Brazil, and the excitement around the Brazilian national team has been there for decades upon decades. So when you think of how basketball is catching on now in Brazil, what have the influences been? Anderson Varejão, yourself, players that have really brought attention to Brazilian basketball. How is it catching on as a global sport in Brazil right now?
I think basketball in Brazil is became really, really big, like insane big. I never thought that basketball was gonna be the way it is right now, especially because Stephen Curry and what he's doing for basketball. And our team, you know, we've been doing such great things. You know, we won the championship last year. We're in a situation that we can do again. Stephen Curry being the MVP two times, you know, so people in Brazil just in love with this guy, you know, and every time they capable and have opportunity to watch our games, you know, they ready. Even it's really late, the games over there, so they is either they tape or they watch live. So it's just unbelievable, you know. I'm so happy about that, you know, because now we're gonna have the Olympics at home, so I'm sure a lot of fans will be there to support us.
Love it, Leandro. Thank you very much. All right, now to Zach Lowe, one of the very best basketball writers in the business. He has great insights and a great podcast as well. Here are some of his thoughts as the series heads to Game 3 here in Cleveland. We are with Zach Lowe of ESPN and the Low Post podcast, my personal favorite podcast.
Hey.
I will say this. I go running, and I love listening to the various conversations you have. And Kevin Arnovitz also knows that he's one of the major contributors to your podcast, as well as, you know, Coach Thorpe and Brian Windhorst here. Most recently, I got to download that one and listen for it and actually get some exercise here in Cleveland. But we are here on the eve.
Hard in the finals.
Exactly. On the eve of Game 3. And from what you've seen in the first two games, what are the Warriors doing, especially with their defense, to have the kind of success that's creating offense?
I think it's, you know, not to beat an obvious dead horse or whatever, but the switching is just throwing them off completely. I mean, Cleveland's whole offense is pick and roll, get you in rotation, and kick out for a three. And when there's no switch, there's no rotation, nobody's open for three. And they're even doing that with post-ups, too. Like, Warriors had very few hard double teams that have been easy to pass out at. When they post Love on Clay or LeBron on a matchup, LeBron on Clay, a matchup that Cleveland likes, the help is coming late, and the recovery is fantastic, and there's no easy kick-out pass because of the way the weak side defenders are spaced out. They're playing great, like, really great defense.
When you think of the season that was the regular season, the 73-9 regular season, and the way that the Warriors have maneuvered through this postseason thus far, and going seven games with the Oklahoma City Thunder, did it surprise you that they were out to a 2-0 lead, or holding court at home court seemed like that should happen, and now we're into a series, and let's see what happens here in Cleveland?
The only thing that surprised me was how bad Cleveland looked in Game 2. I thought Game 2 would be a down-to-the-wire, nip-and-tuck, you know, tough game, and for them to just get blown away, even when Curry was in foul trouble, both in the second and third quarter, that surprised me. But for the Warriors to be up 2-0, no, that's not surprising.
When you see how Stephen and Clay have yet in this series thus far to have just blast-off games, I mean, both of them had 4 3-pointers in this Game 2 that we just saw, but when you think of that, the potential there for a 17-point, 20-point quarter is there, is that perhaps the most scary thing still on the table for Cleveland to contend with, that the Splash Brothers have not exactly blasted off quite yet?
I'm less scared by that than most people, because Draymond is not going to score 28 every game, and Livingston had his monster game, and Barbosa can't miss a shot, and all that stuff will change too. To me, the scary thing, we can talk about all this, you know, the Splash Brothers are going to go off and what Cleveland's rotation is going to be with or without Love, blah, blah. If they don't play passable NBA defense, this is all irrelevant. It's just noise. They're not going to win a game. If they don't have to play great NBA defense, they just have to not mess up half the switches and allow 10 backdoor layups a game. If that doesn't change, then all this other stuff to me is just noise.
Okay. Okay, one last question here about life after Grantland. And various writers have done various things. Jonathan Abrams' book, Boys Among Men, was outstanding. I mean, we want to have him here on Warrior Sound to kind of detail the book. But
there's nothing he loves more than promoting his book. You know, he's very comfortable promoting his book. So I look forward to that podcast and how uncomfortable you can make it.
Well, exactly. I mean, he's acting like Shea Serrano's doing all the promotional work for him on the topic.
Shea's the hype man.
But when it gets down to what all the guys are doing and what you're now doing, what are some of the things that you've really sunk your teeth into post-Grantland with the work you're doing at ESPN and taking the podcast even one step forward?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I feel like my job is kind of the same. My work just sort of migrated from one website to another. They kind of let me do the same stuff I did at Grantland. We've changed some little things here or there, like I didn't do a Tuesday column weekly during the playoffs just because we felt like the timing it was awkward. You can't always save good playoff stuff for a Tuesday. It doesn't work that way all the time. But mostly it's been the same. I have the same editor, same work. You know, other people have moved around, and ESPN just brought me over, so it's been good.
As always, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right, now to what was said at the podium today, and let's start by bringing in what Stephen Curry had to say here in Cleveland.
Steph, Davide Chinellato, NBA Italy. Can you take us through the process of your decision to pull out of the Olympics, and did the Zika virus play a factor in it?
I followed the reports and kind of got educated on that, but at the end of the day, that didn't have a bearing on my decision. It was assessing my body and knowing, one, what it was going to take for me to finish this playoff run, and considering the injuries I've had in the last few weeks in the playoffs and the short time frame in between the finals and Team USA training camp, and then the time frame after that for me personally was going to be a lot to get my body ready for another year coming up. So that was my decision. I knew obviously the developments and kind of understanding the problem with the Zika virus, but had no bearing on my decision.
Thank you.
Monty over here on the right.
CSN Bay Area. Steph, you guys are having troubles with Game 3, it seems. I mean, I think you're 2-5 in Game 3s under Steve. Lost all three Game 3s so far this postseason. Can you pinpoint what's going on when you guys go on the road for that first game?
If you think about it, this playoff series, the Houston series, I didn't play, and we still had a legit chance in the last two minutes to get that job done, so that was kind of just a missed opportunity. Portland series kind of the same way. And then last series, we just got dismantled in 3 and 4 on the road, and it was more a situation where we kind of, I mean, obviously the Thunder were a great team. We beat ourselves with turnovers and the details of the game plan that we knew we needed to correct or to execute at a very high level to win on the road. So we hope we can figure that out for tomorrow. This is a hostile environment for sure, and one that we remember from last year. So you got to get off to a good start and play with energy, you know, to keep ourselves in it early and not have to, you know, make, you know, crazy comebacks or do anything spectacular along the way. Just be ourselves.
Marcus, back left on 4, sitting down. Marcus, just raise your hand.
So when you watch the film, what's your takeaway from the defense that you guys have played 2 games? What do you see?
For the most part, we're just staying in front of guys. We're obviously doing a lot of switching, but we're not having many breakdowns on communication, knowing who's guarding who. Loading up in transition so they don't get, you know, easy layups, and trying to just contest as many jumpers as we can. We're not going to, you know, lock up every individual talent they have on the team. You just got to live with contested shots and hope they miss and force them into those tough shots. So the biggest thing we need to do better is obviously, you know, less turnovers. They had, I think, 20-plus points off of turnovers. And if we can do that and continue to play a defense that we've been playing, then, you know, that should help us, especially on the road when it's going to be even harder.
does it feel like you guys are playing or locked in defensively? Are you guys high-fiving each other in the film room at rotations and stuff?
It's not a big celebration, but it is a good feeling knowing we're doing what we can do, but we can be better, which is something that we need to challenge ourselves with for sure.
Third row in the center.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Steph, last year in the finals, J.R. Smith struggled. So far in the first two games, he's off to the same kind of start. What is it that you guys are doing on him to take him out of his comfort zone and making things difficult for him?
Mainly, it's just like I was just talking about, not having any breakdowns, because some of the stuff they run for him, they, you know, they rely on some action that gets him free, you know, especially for three-point shots. And then always just having a body, you know, as close as you can on him and making him put it down on the floor. If he gets to the basket and makes a play, which he's obviously capable of doing, then we'll hopefully have help behind us. But you can't let him get open threes and get a rhythm, especially early in the game. So another probably going to try to find ways to get him going in game three. And we need to stay locked in and focused on where he is at all times while still having, you know, five guys and help, you know, help position for the other actions that they run.
Any other questions for Tim right here? Second row.
The AP. Steph, when LeBron was in here earlier, and he, you know, for obvious reasons, said tomorrow's do or die for them. Obviously, nobody wants to go down 3-0 against anybody, particularly a 73-9 team. But when you hear that from an opponent, when you know that it's kind of all or nothing time for an opponent, how do you not get sort of wrapped up in their thinking and sort of get away from the things that you have to do, things that you have to focus on, instead of focusing too much on what this game means to the opponent?
In a perfect world, we wouldn't hear anything they had to say, and we could just worry about what we, what our game plan is. But obviously, that's not possible. But you have to have a collective mindset that we know they're going to make adjustments. We know they're going to come out with a sense of urgency, knowing the moment. But we need to have that same mentality, because for what's at stake, if we are able to go up 3-0, that is a great position to be in. And that is the opportunity in front of us. So we can't get complacent. We can't celebrate anything because we haven't accomplished anything yet. And it would be good for us to have the same mindset he just described, regardless of the 2-0 lead.
Last two, Monty and Noah.
Steph, back in going back a few weeks now, in the second round, Oklahoma City lost to San Antonio blown out in game one, came back and won the series. You guys get blown out in games three and four in Oklahoma City, come back and win the series. You win two games decisively in this series, go on the road. Is there anything you can take from those previous experiences of yours and the other teams that maybe can help you in game three?
I think I talked a little bit about it after. Back at home after game two, we've been on the other side of a big comeback and obviously have seen other teams do it as well. So if there's anything we know is that it's possible, and for us, you know, with the kind of effort that we put in and the IQ and just gamesmanship that's got us a 2-0 lead, that can be taken away quick if you don't have the same mindset and keep your foot on the gas pedal. So there's a lot of talented guys in that Cleveland locker room that are capable of having big games, and you know, we need to stay on the aggressive and not protect the lead, but you know, try to come out and, especially on the road, be a better team than we were the first two games.
Noah, last one right here.
Noah Kozlov, CineSport. Have the Cavs showed you anything that's been unexpected so far?
Not really. I mean, we know what their strengths are and who has the ball in their hands most of the time and certain sets that they run. I mean, they have the opportunity to throw some different lineups out there that maybe an adjustment or two for game three. But based on having watched film and preparing for the series, we know the game plan of how we're going to defend certain guys, and we stuck to it. So if there are adjustments to be made, then we're a pretty smart group that can do that on the fly and follow coach's lead. But we've done a good job so far.
We had the fans' questions for Klay Thompson a bit earlier. Now the questions from the media.
Klay, hi. When Steph obviously came out yesterday and delivered the news on Rio, and Steve just a minute ago said that he's a little bit relieved because after two finals runs back-to-back, looking for guys to get some rest, obviously. How much will rest factor into your thinking on what you end up doing?
I hope to play for Team USA. I mean, it would be a great honor. Just thinking about the Olympics is gives me butterflies, just because that's a dream always had as a kid. I figure when this thing's over, I'll get a couple weeks, and that's all I need. And best thing about Team USA, no one's logging heavy minutes. I've had the experience before. We only play 15 to 20 a game, and I'll have about a month and a half off if I am able to do it after. So for me, it's just about when I do have downtime, just to really get off my feet, enjoy it. But I would love – it would be an honor to play for Team USA, and I would love to go to Brazil.
Over here again.
Aaron Cohane, ABC News. Do you have any concerns about Zika in Brazil?
I mean, a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, mosquitoes love me. I grew up in Oregon. I felt like I was always getting bit. So, I mean, it's no joking matter, but it's a little concerning. But at the same time, you just got to take the precautionary steps to avoid it. But it's not going to deter me from going, obviously. I still would love to go represent my country.
Monty, over here on the right.
Monty Poole, CSN Bay Area. Klay, you guys have lost four consecutive game threes dating back to last year, all on the road. Mm-hmm. Anything that you can see that sort of you can point to and say, here's why, and explain it?
Not really. It's tough. I mean, I know what we can do to avoid it, though. I think we can just – obviously, it's easy to feel good about ourselves right now. We protected home court, won by a big margin, but we haven't played an away game yet. We haven't played in this building, and we know how much better teams are when they get home. So game three is going to be pivotal for us. It's a make-or-break game for the Cavs. We expect them to come out with great desperation and great hunger, and we just got to match that, especially in this building. You can't let them come out with more energy than you. And we can't turn it over 20 times again because, they'll feast on that in their home court.
Monty, follow up.
Steve touched on this by saying that you guys have already mentioned the Oklahoma City thing where you guys were down 3-1, mm-hmm. and how everybody kind of counted you out, and now the Cavs are down 2-0. How do those lessons manifest themselves?
Don't read too much into the media. Don't be on Twitter all the time. Don't be on the internet. It's just going to either inflate your ego or it's going to – you're going to feel bad about yourself. So you got to stay away from that as much as possible, and you just got to keep your mind on the task at hand. That's, trying to come in here and steal one because I'll tell you now, this team's not going to lay down just because they're down 2-0. Both in the conference finals, Toronto was down 0-2, and same with us. We're down 3-1. So it's not easy, but it's very possible for that, for a team to even up the series. So we can't relax. No time to relax.
Back left.
Klay, Davide Chinellato, NBA Italy. You're obviously a great player. Do you feel a little bit underrated playing together with Steph Curry, with the MVP of the league and probably the new face?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I feel, I'm very valuable to this team. I don't really feel underrated because I feel like I put in the work to be here right now. And, it takes a whole team to get to the finals, and we all understand that, but I don't feel underrated.
And finally, Coach Kerr had this to say here on the eve of Game 3.
Well, we just want to win. It doesn't matter, who scores the points or who gets the credit. We do feel like the strength of our team is our depth, and we're not overly reliant on one player, even the MVP. So our depth has shown so far, and I'm sure we'll have different players continue to step up as the series goes on.
Back left.
Marla Ridenour, Akron Beacon Journal. Would you expect to see a different Kyrie Irving, especially if they don't have Kevin Love and able to go?
Well, we just expect Cleveland to play well, regardless of, you know, which individual players we're talking about. They're at home. Everybody plays better at home in the playoffs, and so I think they'll come out and they'll be more aggressive and play better. And it's up to us to deal with that and deal with the crowd and the emotion and all that stuff, and be able to keep the game under control and play well ourselves.
In the center,
Steve, Ron Krychek from the San Francisco Chronicle. I guess you kind of addressed this, but on the road in the playoffs, you guys have played some great games, obviously game 6 in Oklahoma City, the overtime game in Portland, and also some games where you've gotten blown out very uncharacteristically. And why do you think there's been such a wide range of performances on the road in the playoffs?
Well, this year it's been a little different with Steph's injury. I think, if I remember correctly, he sat out the game 3 in Portland and then came back game 4. Houston, he was, I guess, injured in the first half of game 3. Was that game 4?
Yeah, he missed 3.
So he missed game 3. So, yeah, I mean, this year has been different. Last year we had a pretty smooth run health-wise. I think Mo got hurt a little bit in the conference finals, but for the most part we stayed healthy. This year has been a little jumbled, and we've obviously been challenged. Portland, it was a great series. Every game was close other than the first one, I think. And then Oklahoma City had us on the ropes. So we've probably dealt with more adversity this year and had to kind of bounce back from losses and from injuries and that kind of stuff. But like I said, I don't think there's, you know, anything we can point to in terms of, why we're struggling in game threes or you know, the difference between wins and losses. It's usually the same stuff. You know, you either play well or you don't.
Back left.
Coach, Davide Chinellato, NBA Italy. What do you think about Steph's decision to pull out of the Olympics, and were you consulted in the process?
I was not consulted. That's Steph's decision. As his coach, I'm pleased. He needs rest. Two straight years going to the finals. He's had injuries not only this year but in the past. I think rest will serve him really well, but it's up to each individual player if he wants the experience or not. And that's a tough choice, because being in the Olympics is a great honor. But I think for Steph, I think he weighed all the dynamics and realized that a summer of rest would be the best thing for him long term, and I think that's the wise choice.
Monty in the back.
Monty Poole, CSN Bay Area. Steve, typically bench guys are better at home than on the road, but you've got a couple of veteran guys in Sean and Andre in particular. Would the home-road split think be much different for those guys?
It wasn't last year when we were here. Andre became the series MVP, obviously played extremely well here. Sean had a huge game 6 when we were able to close that series out. I kind of look at those guys as starters anyway, really. Andre was playing 35 minutes, and Sean has been through everything in his life and his career, so I don't think the road bothers them much, but it is true. I mean, it's harder to play longer minutes with your bench on the road for whatever reason. Momentum, crowd noise, it's tough to pinpoint it, but we're confident that our guys can come out and play well on the road anyway.
Tim, the side in the front.
Tim Reynolds, Associated Press. Steve, a couple weeks ago, the whole world was reminding you guys how mathematically improbable your situation was down 1-3. Do you kind of remind your guys that Cleveland's hearing exactly the same thing right now, and in the same way that I'm sure it motivated you guys in some respects, it's probably holding true in your locker room as well?
Yeah, that's a great analogy, one that we have already used. Doesn't matter what the scores are. It's it doesn't matter if you win by 25 or lose by 25. It's it's one game in the series, and we got blown out twice in a row in OKC. Down 3-1, we were able to come back. So we know we're playing against a great team. They're coming home. They can changed the momentum around just with one win. So we've got to be ready.
Steve, Paul Flannery, SB Nation. You mentioned earlier in the series that having a championship with this group lifts a burden. It can lift a burden with the group. How have you seen that manifest itself in focus and confidence? How would you sort of, you know, quantify that?
It's just a deeper level of confidence. So when you're down 3-1 and you've got the experience of winning a title, I think you have more belief that you can come back. I think there's definitely kind of a stigma in the league for individual players and teams. You know, if you haven't won the big one, and that can weigh on you, that's not a factor for us. We've won one, and we obviously want to win another one, but there is a relief that comes when you've won a title. You know, you get rid of that burden. And so we're not dealing with that. So I think we have, as I said, a really good level of confidence. I think that showed in the last series and how this series has started, and we just want to keep that going.
Al, right here.
Hi, Steve. Al Sarasovic, San Francisco Chronicle. Steph played fewer minutes in Game 2. There was some foul trouble involved. Was it because of the fouls, or can you give us an update on his physical status right now, and are you holding him back because of injury?
No, it was all based on fouls, and then he was able to sit out the last 7 minutes or so because we had the comfortable lead. But he picked up silly fouls. He was his own worst enemy in Game 2, and we were fortunate to play well without him and win the game. But he can't reach. I mean, he had three just crazy reaches and slapdowns on guys' arms and wrists. He's got to be more disciplined than that. We need him on the floor.
Can you give us an update on his physical status?
Nobody's ever said anything to me the last week. None of the trainers, Steph. So as far as I'm concerned, if they haven't told me anything, then he's 100%.
Warriors Cavs, Game 3 is Wednesday here in Cleveland. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.